This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-ithnillahi ta'ala our explanation of the Hanbali text Bidayatul Abidi wa Kifayatul Zahid by Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'li rahimahullah. Commencement of the worshipper and sufficiency for the ascetic walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, in our previous majalis, we completed the chapters pertaining to Tahara, walhamdulillah. And we saw generally the Hanbali scholars divide fiqh into four categories. The fiqh of ibadat, your salah, zakah, siyam, hajj and jihad. And well, tahara comes in because it's a precondition of that salah. Then they move on to social dealings, your mu'amalat, your business transactions, buying and selling, hiring, etc. Then the third category, and that is fiqh al-usra, matters pertaining to family law. Then lastly, ilm al-qada, the matters pertaining to jinayat, the judiciary, legal penalties, hudud, etc. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, our current text, we had stated that we are sticking to the official position of the madhab, the Hanbali madhab. And what is the official position of the Hanbali madhab for the latter-day Hanbali scholars? It's whatever the author of Al-Iqna' and the author of Al-Muntaha have agreed upon. Whatever Sahib Muntaha and Sahib Al-Iqna' have agreed upon, Musa Al-Hajjawi and Ibn Najjar Al-Fatuhi Al-Misri, whatever both of them have agreed upon, that in reality is the official Hanbali madhab according to the latter-day Hanbali scholars. So we are sticking to the official position. We stated that this is progression in our learning and we cannot jump into the deep end before we learn how to swim in the shallow end. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. One mas'ala that we need to take note of in our explanation of those matters which nullify the wudu, we saw that according to the madhab, if an individual touches the opposite gender with any part of the body, as long as there was skin-on-skin contact and there was desire attached to this, there was lust attached to this, then the wudu is nullified. Whose wudu? The wudu of the one who did the touching, not the one who was touched. Yes, if the one who was touched also had desire and lust, then their wudu is nullified. But otherwise, it's only the wudu of the one who did the touching, the lamis, and not the one who was touched. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we discussed the chapters pertaining to menses, walhamdulillah. We discussed impurities. We talked about the severe types, the light types. We discussed the matters pertaining to the yammum. We also touched upon the conditions with regards to our purification. We talked about the classification, the division of water. We went through the entire wudu, the entire ghusl, walhamdulillah. Now, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we come to that main pillar of Al-Islam, that most important pillar after our shahadatain, and that is the matter of salah, the actual salah now, insha'Allah. We covered the precondition which was tahara, now we move on to the salah, insha'Allah. Remember, brothers and sisters, the first matter, yourself and myself, we will be judged about on Yawm al-Qiyamah with regards to the rights of Allah, will be this matter of salah. And if it is correct and all in order, the rest of our questioning and hisab will be easy, insha'Allah. But if we have issues, if we have problems with regards to our salah, Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an, in Allah we seek help. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, this fiqh here that we are studying, this is obligatory knowledge upon every Muslim. This is not like the business transaction type of hiring. This is not like the fiqh of divorce. Maybe you're not getting married, maybe you're not married, etc. That's not an obligation upon you right now. But the fiqh of salah, the fiqh of tahara, these are obligatory types of knowledge upon every single Muslim. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli Muslim. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. You as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has stated, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to eat the hunt of a hunting dog. You say to the dog, go. The dog goes. You say, Bismillah, go. And it goes. It hunts the rabbit, kills the rabbit, brings back the rabbit. I can eat of that rabbit. I can cook it. I can eat it. Why, Ya Ibn al-Qayyim? He states that because this dog here is a trained dog. This dog has knowledge. It has ilm. So it has been elevated. Whereas any other dog kills an animal, you cannot just eat of it. But your hunting dog, you train this dog. It is a trained dog. It listens to you. And so when it hunts, it is similar to the bullet of the gun when you go hunting. So he states that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated the dog, because of its knowledge, what about the son of Adam? What about the daughter of Adam if they seek knowledge, subhanallah? Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatallah. So we are on the path to paradise bi'iznillahi ta'ala if our intentions are correct. Innamal a'malu bin niyat, that we are seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by studying this. We want to increase our knowledge because it was the order of Allah to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. We also want to remove ignorance from ourselves. And if the opportunity comes up, we want to advise, we want to pass on this knowledge to others. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, Kitabu Salah. The chapter, the book of Salah. Tajibul Khamsu, five obligatory prayers. Ala kulli Muslimin, upon every Muslim. Mukallafin, upon every legal capacity Muslim. Every baligh Muslim. Obviously, your kids at the age of 7, kids at the age of 8, we encourage them to perform their prayers. The earlier the better, walhamdulillah. But it becomes an obligation fard upon them once they reach bulugh, once they are now mukallaf, once they are now baligh. Illa ha'idan wa nufasa'a, except the one who is in menstruation or the female who has given birth and she is postpartum bleeding. وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا جُحُودًا, whoever leaves off salah, and this individual abandons it and denies it, he makes inkar of salah, he says that there's no such thing as salah. Salah is not an obligation upon us. It's a good thing if we do it. It's nice exercise. It's nice meditation. But it's not an obligation. You have the choice in the matter. This individual, tarakaha juhudan, he's denied it. فَقَدْ إِرْتَدَّ, he has abandoned al-Islam. He has committed apostasy and he falls outside the fold of al-Islam. وَجَرَتْ عَلَيْهِ أَحْكَامُ الْمُرْتَدِّينَ, and upon him, he will be subject to the apostasy laws. Apostasy laws, these matters come in the chapters of fiqh in ilm al-qadha, matters pertaining to jinayat and the hudud, etc., etc. But point for us to note here, the one who denies that salah is an obligation, this person ceases to be a Muslim. The author discusses that individual. But what about, and there's no difference of opinion with regards to this, all scholars are in agreement, the one who denies salah, denies this pillar of al-Islam, this person is no longer a Muslim. But what about the one who is lax with regards to his prayers? What about the one who, you know, misses a prayer here, misses a prayer there, doesn't pray, maybe doesn't pray at all? He says, Wallahi, I believe that salah is an obligation. Make dua for me. You know, one day when I go for hajj, inshallah, I will make tawbah and then I will start to pray, etc. So this person has left the prayers, tahawunan, out of laxity. The person doesn't take it seriously. According to the Hanbali madhab, and this is from the mufradat of the madhab, that only the Hanbali state this and not the Hanafis, not the Shafi'is, not the Malikis. According to the Hanbalis, this person also ceases to be a Muslim. But there's some conditions with regards to this. For example, the one who he misses his salah, etc., this individual, he will be called by the imam, the qadi. They will ask him to start praying. And if he still says, no, I'm not going to pray, they will continue to do this for 3 days. And after 3 days, then this person here will be given the death sentence. This person then will be given the death sentence. So it's not upon myself and yourself to be passing around the fatwa of kufr. No, this is a matter which is related to the judiciary. They will investigate the matter, force him to pray, convince him to pray. And if after all is said and done, he still chooses not to pray, then the penalty will be applied upon him. And that is the death sentence. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Some scholars stated that he will be given the death sentence, but technically he dies as a Muslim. Ibn Taymiyyah says this is impossible. This is impossible. How can a Muslim be asked to pray and he says, no, I will not pray, and he chooses to die rather than praying two rakahs of salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ibn Taymiyyah says this is, you know, like a theoretical mas'ala. It can never be that such a person chooses to die and he supposedly dies as a Muslim. Impossible. This person will die the death of a disbeliever, because no individual who has an iota of iman will choose death over performing two rakahs of salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. The point for myself and yourself here is that this is a serious matter. This is an extremely serious matter. You had some scholars who were of the opinion that if a person misses one salah, there's no excuse. Time came in, time came out, and he had no valid excuse, and he missed his salah. He missed his salah. This person ceases to be a Muslim. Allahu musta'an. We do not want to be in Yawmul Qiyamah that, according to some ulama, you know, we no longer are Muslim because of this matter. It's a major, major, major sin, a major crime. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So we covered the obligatory nature of the five daily prayers, etc., upon whom it's an obligation. Now we move on to the call to that prayer. We move on to the matters pertaining to adhan, insha'Allah. With regards to the madhab, that adhan and iqamah, this is better than imamah. Giving the adhan and the iqamah is better than being the imam. This is the opinion of the madhab. And also, according to the madhab, it is makruh for women to deliver the adhan. Makruh for women to give the adhan. Obviously, if it's a mixed crowd, you know, it's definitely impermissible. Al-adhan wal-iqamah farḍa kifaya. Iqamah and adhan, they are both communal obligations ala rijal al-ahrar. They are communal obligations upon the men who are free. So what does this mean? Means if I'm in my house, it's not a communal obligation. If I want to give the adhan, alhamdulillah. If I don't, no issue. Also, if I'm alone, according to this, if I'm alone, then I don't give the adhan. Whereas if we are in a jama'ah and we are free men, then it is a communal obligation that when we in jama'ah, it's men, it's those who are free, then they need to give the adhan. If none of them give the adhan in the whole area, then they will all be sinful. But as for, I'm a traveler, I'm on my own, I'm in my house, can I give the adhan? Most definitely. Can I give the iqamah? Most definitely. Is it better to do so? Yes, most definitely. Walhamdulillah. But it's not fard kifaya. If you left it out, there's no sin involved. Wasun wa yusannani limunfarid wasafaran. And it is sunnah for the person who's praying on his own and for the musafir. Wala yasihan illa marratin. إِلَّا مَرَّتَيْن مُتَوَالِيَيْن عُرْفًا. And they are not valid unless in sequence and continuous with an intention by a Muslim male who is sane. So you need to give the adhan as per the ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the adhan of Bilal or Abu Mahdura. You give the adhan in tartib. You need to give one phrase after another. Don't take a 1 hour break in between the adhan. Who delivers the adhan? It should be a male Muslim who is sane, who is mumayyiz, who knows what he is doing. So your kid who is at the age of 7, you can let him give the adhan, inshallah. Natiqin, he obviously needs to be somebody who can pronounce the words of the adhan. Adlin, somebody who is trustworthy, not a fasiq. Walau zahiran, you know, he's apparently a righteous, a good Muslim, trustworthy. We trust him with regards to the times of the prayers, etc. بعد دخول وقت, after the time of the salah has entered, that's when he gives the adhan, لغير فجر, except salatul fajr. With regards to salatul fajr, we know that there are two adhans. The first one is given before the time enters, to wake up people for tahajjud, to wake up people who want to fast, and so that's when the first adhan is given. And then the second adhan is the actual adhan of the salatul fajr. وَيَصِحُ لَهُ بَعْدَ نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ. As for the Fajr one, you can give the first adhan after midnight. 1 o'clock in the morning, you can give the first adhan of Salatul Fajr. وَهُوَ خَمْسَةَ عَشَرَ كَلِمَةً. And it's 15 phrases, بِلَا تَرْجِيعٍ, without repetition. وَهِيَ إِحْدَى عَشْرَةَ بِلَا تَثْنِيَةٍ. And it is 11 phrases without doubling. And so, the adhan is 15 phrases, and the iqama is in the singular fashion, and so it comes to 11 phrases. وَيُبَاحُ تَرْجِيعُهُ وَتَثْنِيَتُهَا. And it is permissible to do the tarji'. Tarji' is when we delivering the adhan, when we give the shahadatain, we say it in an inaudible voice, a light voice, low voice, and then we come back and repeat in a high-pitched voice. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ... the first time in a low-pitched voice, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. And then that's repeated in a high pitched voice. And he also states with regards to iqama that doubling the iqama is also permissible, like you find the Hanafis etc. doing. Just like the adhan, the iqama is the same, except obviously in all the iqama we add قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. And so Imam Ahmed has a qa'ida that whatever has been reported from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these different forms, then all of them are permissible. All of them are permissible. He might have a choice with regards to what's the preferred option, but technically all of them are permissible. And so the adhan of Bilal, the adhan of Abu Mahdhura has this tarji', which is the repetition of the shahadatain, first time in a low voice, second time in a high voice. And the iqama, you can do it the singular style, which is the opinion of majority, and you can also do it in the double, similar to the adhan, just like the Hanafis do. Walhamdulillah. وَحُرِمَ خُرُوجٌ مِّن مَسْجِدٍ بَعْدَهُ. And it is impermissible for somebody to leave the masjid after the adhan بِلَا عُذُر, if they do not have any excuse. Yes, I need to go to the toilet, I need to go somewhere, there's an emergency, no problem. Then you can leave. أو بِنِيَّةِ رُجُوعٍ. Or, I'm leaving to go to the toilet, but I have the intention to return back. Once the adhan is given, you should stay in the masjid. We don't want you to go anywhere else. Be in the masjid. The muadhin called you to be here. Yes, if you need to go to the toilet, you're going to come back. Alhamdulillah. There's something in your car, you need to get it. You go, you come back. So you have the intention to return. No problem. But I need to leave this area. I need to go somewhere else. Maybe I'm musafir, and I've already prayed my salah, and I need to go somewhere else. If you have a valid excuse, then there's no problem. Walhamdulillah. وَالسُنَّ أَذَانٌ فِي يُمْنَى أُذُنِ مَوْلُودٍ. And it's sunnah to give the adhan in the right ear of the newborn kid, حَيْثُ يُولَد, wherever this kid is born. Calling the adhan in the right ear of a newborn is recommended. وَإِقَامَةٌ فِي الْيُسْرَى. And giving the iqama in the left ear. Giving the iqama in the left ear, as the author has stated, although those ahadith has some weakness in them, ala kulli hal, giving the adhan in the right ear, this has been reported that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had done so with regards to Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, his grandson Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an. And the author then moves on to the chapter pertaining to the conditions, the pillars, the obligations, and the recommendations, with regards to salah, insha'Allah. It's also permissible, take note, that, if the kid's born, and maybe there's no men around, and so it's permissible for the mother, permissible for one of the nurses to give the adhan in the ear of the kid. No problem at all here. This is not that main adhan of the masjid that we are talking about. This is in the kid's ear, and it makes no difference whether it's a male or a female who gives this adhan. Walhamdulillah. Faslun. وشروط صحة الصلاة ستة. And the preconditions with regards to salah, they are six. طهارة الحدث. Tahara from states of impurity, we've already discussed in great detail. ودخول الوقت, and the entry of the prayer times. MashaAllah. وستر الأورا, covering of the أورا. The female, her entire body except the face. She's praying in her house, in the comfort of her own house. Her entire body must be covered except her face. The hands, the palms, yes, they must be covered according to the official position of the madhab. Her feet, they must also be covered. As for the guy, the area between the navel and the knee must be covered. Area between the navel and the knee must be covered. What does this mean? It means that the knee could be exposed and the navel could be exposed, but the area in between must be covered. That's the aura of salah for the male and the aura of salah with regards to the female, her entire body except the face. This is not the aura with regards to nazar. It's not the aura with regards to what I can see from somebody. As for in public, or she's performing her salah and there's strange men around, then here she even covers her face. And that discussion is a separate discussion in another chapter. With regards to what can I see, what can a female expose generally in public, that's a separate discussion. Here we are talking about the matter of salah. وَاجْتِنَابُ النَّجَاسَ, and to ensure that there's no najasa on your, to ensure that there's no najasa on your body, on your clothing, on your musalla where you are praying, making sure there's no najasa there. وَاسْتِقْبَالُ الْقِبْلَ, facing towards the qibla, وَالنِّيَّ, and to have the intention of what you are praying. وَمَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبُ, and the place of intention is in the heart. No need to verbalize, oh Allah, I'm praying this salah, I'm praying behind this imam, etc. No need for any verbalization. You begin your salah with Allahu Akbar and you have the intention in your heart, walhamdulillah. وَحَقِيقَتُهَا, and the reality of this intention is الْعَزْمُ عَلَى الشَّيْءِ, to have resolution, you know, to have intention, to have resolution, to know what you are doing. وَلَا تَسْقُطُ بِحَالٍ, and this intention, it's not done away with in any situation. You need to know what you are doing. You need to have ilm with regards to what you are doing. Somebody asks you, brother, why are you standing up on the musalla at 5 o'clock in the morning? So you say to him, brother, I'm about to pray my Salatul Fajr. Brother, why are you going to the masjid at 4:30 in the morning? He says, because I'm going to pray Salatul Fajr. That there is in your intention. As long as you know what you are doing, walhamdulillah, that suffices bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Then the author states, وَشُرُوطُهَا الْإِسْلَامُ, and obviously condition with regards to your salah is that you are Muslim, you are aqil, tamiz, you at the age of discernment, at the age of 7 or above, you know what you are doing. وَزَمُنُهَا الْأَوَّلُ الْعِبَادَةُ أَوْ قُبَيْلَهَا بِيَسِيرٍ, the time for this intention is just before you start that act of worship, or just before it. The time just before it suffices, walhamdulillah. أَرْكَانُ الصَّلَاةِ 14, that the pillars of salah, they are 14. 14 pillars of salah. You might find some ulama stating 13, some stating 15, some stating 12. It depends on how they add them up. Some of them might divide 2, and some might divide, 1 into 2 categories. Others might add 3 together as 1. So it's how they add it up. In most instances, قِيَامٌ فِي فَرْدٍ, to stand and pray your fard prayers is an obligation. It's a fard. Brother, it cannot be, I'm feeling a bit tired, so I will sit for my fard salah. I will sit for my zuhr salah. No, not allowed. Haram. It's impermissible. This is a pillar of the prayer. You have to stand. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, Allah states in the Noble Quran. So you have to stand as long as it is a fard prayer. Yes, if you can't stand, that's a separate matter. If you are ajiz, you have a back problem, you have a leg problem, whatever, you have some ailment, then you can sit. There's no issue there. We are talking about the one who chooses to sit while he can stand. He has to stand. And this means in your sunnah prayers, your nafil prayers, your salatul taraweeh, your qiyamul layl, all of these prayers, you can sit if you want. Walhamdulillah, your reward will be half of standing, inshaAllah. What does it mean that, what does it mean to stand? I mean, we all understand what it means to stand up straight, inshallah. But the scholars talk about the definition of one who is in qiyam. The definition is that as long as you haven't reached the point where your hands are able to touch your knees. So as long as you are beyond that point, your hands are unable to touch your knees, walhamdulillah, this is regarded as standing, insha'Allah. Wa takbiratul ihram, to say Allahu Akbar at the beginning of your salah, to say it. Not necessarily to lift up your hands. Lifting up the hands is a matter of the sunnah. But you begin your salah with Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Allah is greater than my worries and my issues and my problems. Allah is greater than all of that, subhanAllah. Wa qira'atul fatihati, recitation of suratul fatiha for the one who's praying on his own and for the one who is the imam. As for the one who is following an imam, you praying in jama'ah behind the imam, you do not have to read suratul fatiha. You can if you want to, no problem. It's better to recite, but it's not an obligation. It's not a rukn, whether it be the silent or the aloud prayers. And this is the official position of the madhab that the imam carries for you, insha'Allah. You can stand behind the imam silent, and that would be permissible, but it's better for you to recite, but it's not a rukn according to the madhab. Wa ruku'un, your ruku, wa raf'un minhu, and rising up from your ruku, wa i'tidal, standing up straight in between after that, wa sujudun, and to prostrate, wa raf'un minhu, and to sit up from your prostration, wa julusun bayna sajdatain, sitting between your two prostrations, wa tama'ninatu fi fi'lin, and to have tranquility in one's action. The minimum according to many is that one subhanallah or one subhana rabbi al-a'la or subhana rabbi al-azim. For that duration, you give each rukn its haq. You're standing up after ruku, you are there for that minimum duration. You are in ruku for that minimum duration. You are in each sajda for that minimum duration it takes to say subhana rabbi al-a'la, etc. This tama'nina, it is a pillar of the prayer. This is the minimum tranquility. As for having khushu in one salah, then this is a recommendation. This is a high recommendation. That's basically the heart of the prayer. To have this khushu in your prayer, that is a matter which is recommended. Why is it recommended if it's the heart of the prayer? Because not everybody is going to find that khushu in the prayer, in every prayer. And then what do we say? We say everybody's salah is invalid? No, no, no. وَهِيَ السُّكُونُ وَإِنْقَلْ. What is طَمَأْنِينَ? It is to have sukoon, tranquility, stillness in each pillar, even if it be short. وَتَشَهُدٌ أَخِيرٌ. And the final tashahud. So if you're praying a 4-raka prayer, then the final tashahud is a pillar. وَجُلُوس لَهُ. Sitting for it. وَلِتَّسْنِيمَتَيْنَ. And also the two salams. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Two salams, this is the obligation. Not one salam, two salams, official position, two salams, they are an obligation. And so if you come late for salah and you need to complete your salah after the imam makes salam, you stand up after the imam's two salams, not after one salam. You find many people, after one salam, they stand up. No, according to the madhab, your salah would be invalid. You need to follow the imam in both the salams. Then, once the imam makes his second salam, then you stand up. وَرُكْنُ مِنْهُ, and the pillar of which, while you are in this tashahud posture, etc., the durood upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tashahud, these are also pillars. And then the author states, the minimum durood, salawat upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That's the minimum. As for the better, obviously, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Walhamdulillah. And so that's obviously the better option. بعدما يجزي من التشهد الأول والمجزي منه, and with regards to التحيات, التحيات لله, السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله, سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. It's better obviously to stick to the version mentioned in the famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud etc. That's the better option. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله والتسليمتان and the two salams, one to the right and one to the left, they are pillars. And tartib, following this order, the proper order of your prayer, these are all pillars of the prayer. Now we move on to the wajibat, insha'Allah. Wajibat, those are obligations, but they're not pillars. Remember, if you leave out a pillar of your prayer purposefully, salah is null and void. You leave out a wajib action purposefully, salah is null and void. So what's the difference? Well, if you forgot a pillar of your prayer, then you need to rewind, you need to go back, you need to correct that matter. Whereas if you leave out by mistake, you forgot a wajib action of your prayer, you continue your salah and you make sajdat wa sahu at the end of your prayer. That's the difference between the rukn and the wajib. The rukn is on a higher level of importance. So left out a wajib by mistake, continue the prayer and make your sajdat wa sahu at the end. Walhamdulillah. With regards to the rukn, example, an individual performing four rakahs of salah and in his first rakah, he forgot the ruku. And he remembered in sajda, his first rakah in sajda, he remembers, oh subhanallah, I forgot my ruku, what do I do? We say to him, from that sajda, immediately rewind and go to your ruku, make the ruku, and continue your salah as normal from that ruku. Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana walakal hamd, make your first sajda, second sajda, continue your salah as normal, and make sajda to sahu at the end. Rukun you missed out, so you need to rewind and do it. That's obviously if I haven't yet started my next rak'ah, Surah Al-Fatiha. As long as I haven't started Surah Al-Fatiha in the next rak'ah, I can rewind. But if this brother missed out his ruku in the first rak'ah, and he remembered after Waladdallin Ameen in his second rak'ah, so I've already started Fatiha, I cannot rewind now, I cannot go back, etc. What happens in this case? The rak'ah, the unit which has that missed ruku, it becomes null and void. It disappears. Imagine it disappears. And so your second rak'ah becomes your first rak'ah. And then the third becomes your second. And your fourth becomes the third, and you're going to do one more. Technically, this individual would have technically like prayed five rak'ahs, but the first one was null and void. And so only the four after were the valid ones, and he will make sajda to sahu at the end. So that's the major difference between a rukn and a wajib. As for the matters of the sunnah, you do it, alhamdulillah, all the better. You left it out, there's no sajda to sahu or anything like that, which is an obligation from you. Wal wajibat thamaniyatun, they are eight. Takbiratun li ghayri al-ihram, all your takbirs, Allahu Akbar, related to your movements in salah. Wa tasmi'un sami'a Allahu liman hamida, li imam wa munfarid, for the imam and the one who's praying on his own. As for the follower, you don't say sami'a Allahu liman hamida, the imam says that. Wa tahmidun, and tahmid rabbana walakal hamd, wa tasbihatun ula fi ruku'in wa sujudin subhana rabbiyal azim. One time is wajib, more than that is merrier, it's best. One time subhana rabbiyal a'la is the obligation, more than that is good, walhamdulillah. Between the two sujood, to say rabbi ghfirli one time minimum, that is wajib. Bayna sajdatain lil kull, that for all meaning for the imam, the munfarid and the ma'mum. These matters, sami Allahu, these matters, subhana rabbiyal a'la, subhana rabbiyal azim, rabbi ghfirli, these are obligations upon all, the imam, the one praying on his own, the munfarid, the ma'mum, the one who is praying behind an imam, all of them would say that. Wa tashahud awwal, the first tashahud is wajib. And so if the imam forgets the first tashahud and he stands up completely, he's standing up straight, this imam now must continue his salah. If they correct him, he cannot come and sit down. He cannot sit down. Why? Because you've already stood up properly. You've already completely stood up. And now you are busy with a pillar of the salah, which is standing. And so you cannot rewind and go to something which is of lesser importance, the wajib which was missed out, the tashahud sitting. No, you can't do that. So you stood up, you continue your salah, and you make sajdatu sahu at the end. But if I was halfway up, if I was three quarter up, and they corrected me, I can sit down, insha'Allah. وَجُلُوسٌ لَهُ And sitting for that, تَشَهُدْ وَالسُّنَنُهَا The sunnah matters of our salah, أَقْوَال وَأَفْعَال They are statements and they are actions. لَا تَبْطُلْ بِتَرْكِ شَيْمِنْهَا مُطْلَقًا Your salah is not invalid if you miss out any of them. You didn't tie your hands in salah. You didn't make رَفُ الْيَدَيْن Lifting up the hand before ruku and after ruku. You didn't lift up your hand at the beginning of your salah. You didn't turn your head towards the right hand side and the left hand side when you were making salam. You just made the salam, but you didn't do the turning of the head. You didn't lift up your fingers during the tashahud, etc. You didn't sit in the tawarruk posture. You didn't sit in the iftirash posture. All of these matters here are matters of the sunnah. Subhanallah. Majority of our arguments, our debates, our issues, our problems in the masjid are related to these matters. Brother, where's your hat? Brother, what's this? Brother, how did you go down into sajda? Your knees first or your head, hands first, etc. Brother, how are you coming up from the sajda? All of these matters we debate, we argue, but on the level of priority, they're not in the rukn category. They are not in the wajibat category. They're in the sunnah category, subhanallah. Not saying that we shouldn't have a discussion about them. Not saying that you cannot discuss them, etc. No, discuss them at length, mashallah. But understand its place. Taking a sunnah and putting it on the level of a pillar, that's wrong. Taking a sunnah and putting it on the level of a pillar, that is completely unacceptable. Allahu musta'an. This is why it's important to study fiqh. Why? So that you understand what's important and what's not important. You understand the level and the levels of priority. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tafaqquh fi ddeen. Allahumma faqqihhu fi ddeen. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas. The more you know, the less inkar you will make. The more you know, the less, debates you will get into. The less inkar, the less picking on people you will engage in. Allahu musta'an. So the author states, this is the sunnahs, istiftah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. Sunnah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. My first rak'ah of the prayer before Surah Al-Fatiha, we say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Sunnah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In every rak'ah before Fatiha, Sunnah. Saying Ameen, whether it be aloud or silent, all of that, the whole saying of Ameen, this is a matter of Sunnah. Ameen means, O Allah, accept. O Allah, accept. Jayid. Because in Surah Al-Fatiha, we're making dua. وقراءة سورة في فجر وجمعة وعيد وتطوع That recitation of surah after Surah Al-Fatiha, this is also a matter of the sunnah. The recitation of a surah after Surah Al-Fatiha, this is a matter of the sunnah. وَأُولَتَي مَغْرِبْ وَرُبَاعِيَّ That the first two rakahs of Salatul Maghrib to recite a surah and the first two rakahs of every four rak'ah prayer also it's a sunnah to recite in the first two rakahs وَجَهْرُ إِمَامٍ بِقِرَاءَةٍ The imam reciting aloud in Fajr in Maghrib first two rakahs in Isha first two rakahs That's also a matter of the sunnah. Reading aloud or silent, matter of the sunnah. وَقَوْلْ غَيْرْ مَأْمُومٍ بَعْدَ التَّحْمِيدِ And the statement of the وَقَوْلْ غَيْرْ مَأْمُون بَغَيْرْ مَأْمُوم بَعْدَ التَّحْمِيدِ And the statement of the imam, statement of the one who's praying on his own, After سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ Then everyone says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ Then the imam and the one praying on his own, they should say, make this dua, مِلْأَ السَّمَاءِ وَمِلْأَ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْأَ مَا شِئْتْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدٍ So the author mentions here that the follower doesn't say this. The author states that the follower doesn't say this. Ala kulli hal, there's another riwayah in the madhab that everybody says this. Everybody says this. Sami Allahu liman hamida. We all say Rabbana walakal hamd, or Rabbana lakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. Then we say mil as-samai wa mil al-ardi wa mil amashit min shay'in ba'd. This is recommended, a praise that fills the heavens and the earth and what lies between them and whatever else you please. We can all say this, walhamdulillah. وَمَا زَادَ عَلَى مَرَّةٍ فِي التَّسْبِيحِ And to say سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى more than once is sunnah. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ more than once is sunnah. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي more than once is sunnah. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَدُعَاءٌ same with سُؤَالُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي more than once is sunnah. وَدُعَاءٌ فِي التَّشَهُدِ الْأَخِيرِ the final tashahud to make dua. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات and any other dua. اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي ولأستاذي ولجميع المؤمنين والمسلمين etc. All these duas are sunnah. And qunut in the witr is also a matter of the sunnah. So if you prayed your witr salah without any qunut, your witr salah is valid. والحمد لله. والسنن الأفعال مع الهيئات 45. And the recommended actions, they are about 45, and they are discussed in the books, which are in more detail. So the author does not go into all of those details. وَيُكْرَهُ لِلْمُصَلِّ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ turning towards your right and your left, etc. while in salah, this is makruh. And if you turned your chest away from the qibla, your salah is null and void. Why? Because now you are not facing the qibla. Where's that pillar of salah? Where's that precondition rather? Where's the precondition of salah facing the qibla? You turned away from the qibla. Allahu musta'an. وَتَغْمِيدُ وَعِينَيْهِ and closing the eyes in salah is also makruh, unless there's a valid reason. People are making noise, people walking in front of you, then it would be fine. وَمَسُّ الْحَصَى fidgeting, you know, playing with the pebbles, if there's sand on the ground, etc. All of these matters, they are disliked. Similarly, with regards to sunnah matters, folding the hands in salah, this is a matter of the sunnah. Where exactly to tie the hands, various riwayat in the madhab. Imam Ahmed, as we all know, that for almost every mas'ala, if for example, any mas'ala that the scholars might have, we find that the Hanafis have an opinion, the Shafi'is, the Malikis. Imam Ahmed, many a times, there's also riwayat from him with regards to those opinions. And that's why some ulama state that, you could be following all four madhahib, masha'Allah, but you're still a Hanbali, walhamdulillah, because you've technically not gone out of, the madhab. Technically, you are still within the riwayat and the opinions of the madhab, walhamdulillah. And so, where to tie the hand, also a matter of the sunnah. We find that according to the official position is that you tie your hands below the surah, below the navel. That's the official position of the madhab, and no difference between the male and the female in this matter. Faslun. يُسَنُّ سُجُودُ السَّهْوِ لِلْمُصَلِّي سُجُود السَّهُ the last matter we will discuss now is the matters pertaining to سُجُود السَّهُ وَيُسَنُّ سُجُودُ السَّهُ لِلْمُصَلِّي إِذَا أَتَى بِقَوْلٍ مَشْرُوعٍ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ سَهْوًا If an individual, he forgetfully makes a legislated statement, something that is part and parcel of salah, but he says it in the wrong place, then it is permissible for you to make سَجْدَةُ السَّهُ Sunnu, it is sunnah for you to make sajdatu sahu, not an obligation. Jahid, remember, sajdatu sahu is either sunnah, it's either permissible for you to do it, or it is wajib for you to do. So here the author is talking about when it's like recommended for you to do. If while you are reading Suratul Fatiha and then you finished it, and then you begin At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. So here you brought something which is part of salah, a statement of salah, but you brought it in its wrong place. So here it is sunnah for you to make sajdatu sahu. وَيُبَاحُ إِذَا تَرَكَ مَسْنُونًا And it is sunnah, and it is permissible, not sunnah, permissible for you to make sajdatu sahu if you missed out a sunnah in salah. You missed out one of the raf'ul yadain, lifting up the hands. You missed out a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim in your first rak'ah. So it is permissible if you want to make sajdatu sahu, you can do so, insha'Allah. When is it an obligation? وَيَجِبُ
إذا زاد ركوعا أو سجودا أو قياما أو قعودا. It's an obligation if you added an extra ركوع, an extra sajda, an extra standing, an extra sitting, etc. You realize, oh, this is my fifth rak'ah. Straight away, you in that fifth rak'ah, go down, sit down straight away and complete the prayer and add the sajda to sahu to the matter. We don't continue in the added rak'ah or the added thing that we are adding in the prayer. Don't continue in it. No. Stop straight away and then complete up your salah and make your sajda to sahu. Here the sajda to sahu would be an obligation. وَتَبْتُلُ الصَّلَاةِ بِتَعَمُّدِ تَرْكِ السُّجُودِ السَّهُ. And salah is invalidated if the obligatory prostration of forgetfulness is intentionally abandoned. So in a case where you had to make sajda to sahu and you purposefully left it out. Purposefully left it out, your salah is null and void. But if you forgot to make that sajda to sahu for an obligatory sajda to sahu, you had to do it, but you forgot it, your salah would be fine, insha'Allah. الَّذِي مَحَلَّهُ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ Jayid. Remember, according to the madhab, all sajda to sahu are before the salam, except if you completed your salah prematurely. Generally, all the sajda to sahu are before the salam. All the sajda to sahu are before the salam, except if you completed your salah prematurely, you finished assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah after two rakas. But you are praying a four rakah prayer. So in this case here, it's recommended for you when you're doing the sajda to sahu that you do it after your salam. Important. Whether you make your sajda to sahu before the salam, whether you make it after the salam, etc. These are all matters of recommendation. They are not, this is the right way and that's the wrong way. Walhamdulillah. Sometimes the matters pertaining to sajda to sahu can be a bit complicated. The best options. And so subhanAllah, this consensus that whichever manner you used, whatever option you chose, your salah would be fine. The easiest method insha'Allah is that when you now coming to the end of your salah, you've done your attahiyat, your durood, your dua, etc. So you need to make sajda to sahu. Straight away from that posture now, Allahu Akbar, you go into sajda. Allahu Akbar, you sit up. Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli. Allahu Akbar, second sajda. And then you come up from that. And then Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All is done. Walhamdulillah. So again, you come to the end of your prayer. You make two sujood. Then you make your two salam. Walhamdulillah. Wa in nahada al musalli an tarki tashahudin أو ناسيا لازمه الرجوع للتشهد. The author states that the prayer is invalidated if the obligatory prostration of forgetfulness is intentionally abandoned. We discussed the time of which is before the salam. We discussed if one gets up abandoning or forgetting the tashahud, they are obliged to return and perform it. It is disliked if they stand completely, impermissible if they begin recitation, and the prayer is invalidated due to returning after beginning recitation, besides that of somebody who is forgetful or ignorant. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. The example is, Brother Salman is performing four rakahs of salah. Brother Salman forgot his first tashahud, and he is standing up. While he's standing up, he remembers or they correct him. Sit down, brother. Continue your salah as normal. Walhamdulillah. Excellent. Second scenario. Brother Salman stood up completely. Stood up completely. We say to Brother Salman, now that you've stood up, you cannot go and sit down. It is makruh for you to now sit down. If he did sit down, technically his salah would be valid. But if he had stood up and he started his suratul fatiha, he started his suratul fatiha. Now if he sits down, his salah is invalid. Once you had started that suratul fatiha and now you sat down, your salah is invalid, invalid. But if you haven't yet started suratul fatiha and you sat down, it is makruh. Except the author states, if the individual had stood up, began suratul fatiha, and then he sat down because he forgot or because he was jahil, he didn't know, then this individual, his salah would be valid. But if he knew, his salah is invalid. Valid. Then the author states, wa in ahdath, and this is, for example,
somebody who performed his salah, example, he performed two rak'ahs of salah, but he was supposed to pray, four rak'ahs of salah. He made his salam after two rak'ahs. And he's still there sitting on the musalla. Then he remembers, oh, subhanAllah, I've only prayed two. I still need to pray two more. As long as the break is not too long. As long as he hasn't finished his prayer half an hour ago. It's just now I finished it and I remembered now. We say to him, stand up and continue your salah. Stand up, continue your salah. Two more rak'ahs. And make sajdatu sahu at the end. Because technically you completed your salah prematurely. You were not supposed to have done so. Technically you think that you are out of salah, but you are still in salah. And so stand up, complete the prayer, and make two sajdatu sahu at the end. Except in ahdath. Except if, for example, you know, he broke his wudu, or for example, he left the masjid, or for example, the break was too long, then here you will need to repeat the entire prayer. أو تكلم ولو سهوا أو قهوة قهقها أو تنحنح بلا حاجة فبان حرفان بطلت. If the individual speaks, even if forgetfully, he speaks in salah, audibly laughs, or he clears his throat without need, and two or more letters are produced, then it's invalidated. So the author states, if you and you make a lot of this sound, etc., and you know it is similar to speech, then technically your salah will be invalidated. Allahu musta'an. La innama fatakallam, but not if you fell asleep in your salah and you spoke, you know, light sleep and then you spoke, that's overlooked. Or in tahaba, you started to cry aloud, you couldn't help yourself, you started to cry out of khashya, out of, you know, khushu and humility and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that occurred and you were crying, etc., no problem with that. Oh, ghalabahu su'al, or for example, you're overcome by coughing, sneezing or yawning, there, no issue, insha'Allah. But if, for example, without a need, you're making all these sounds, or you are, or you are talking in salah, etc., or you laugh in salah, then those matters nullify your prayer. وَيَبْنِي عَلَى الْيَقِينِ وَهُوَ الْأَقَلِ. And you build upon yaqeen when you are in doubt. Example, somebody is in salah, second or first rak'ah. The author states that you go to your first rak'ah. You build upon yaqeen, upon certainty. You don't go with غَلَبَةِ الظَّنِ. That's another riwayah, but we're talking about the official position here. And so you go with the lower of the two numbers. You go with yaqeen. You don't go with, well, I'm 70%, 80% sure it's my second. Let me go with that. No, you go with the lower of the two numbers. وَهُوَ الْأَقَلْ مَنْ شَكَّ فِي رُكْنٍ. As for the one who doubts with regards to a pillar of the prayer. Did I make a ruku or not make a ruku? Did I make the sajda or not make the sajda? It's as if you haven't done it. And so you need to do it. وَلَا أَثَرَ لِلشَّكْ بَعْدَ فَرَاغِهَا. And there's no consideration given to any doubt after the completion of your prayer. وَالشَّكُّ بَعْدَ الْفِعْلِ لَا يُؤَثِّرُ وَهَاكَذَا إِذَا الشُّكُوكُ تَكْثُرُ. That no consideration given to any doubt after the completion of your prayer. You finish the prayer, and now, did I pray three rak'ahs or four rak'ahs? Throw that doubt away. Did I make my sajda in the second rak'ah or not? Throw that doubt away. But yes, if I'm sure that I only prayed three rak'ahs for zuhr, then obviously I need to do the one more rak'ah. That's different when I have yaqeen. We're talking about when I'm in doubt with regards to something of the prayer. Also, the person who has a lot of doubts, all the time he doubts in salah, did I do this? Did I do that? Did I not do this? Did I not do that? Etc. Whispers of shaitan, such an individual, the cure to that is that you do not answer the calls of shaitan. You do not give in to any of these doubts at all. Two people shouldn't give any consideration to doubts. Number one, the one who completed the act of worship, when doubts arise, throw it away. And the second individual, the one who is, always in doubt, don't give in to any of those doubts. Shaitan's tricking you. Shaitan's making your life a misery. Ignore it and continue with life. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amr.
kalamat Allah, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we will continue the chapter pertaining to salah. The author will move on to the fasl pertaining to tatawwu' salah. Until that moment, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah, the best in this world and in the hereafter, to grant us knowledge which is beneficial, to grant us sabr, to grant us the best in whatever, from whatever the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked for in this world and in the hereafter. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.